Probably all of us have had those phone calls, whether just about tea time or at some other time during the day, from an overseas call centre offering us inexpensive phone plans or holiday voucher packages or unbeatable life insurance deals. I certainly have had my fair share over the years. And in response to such calls, many of us have signed up for the Do Not Call register in order to have these calls blocked, and still some of them get through, don't they? Well, back in ancient Babylon, Mesopotamia, Chaldea, same place, which is modern-day Iraq, there were no phones, of course, but our Lord God found a way to contact the hero of those, the hero whose life story we will feature in the next few weeks. Even Abram. And I fully understand Malcolm sort of doing a double take, because Abram, yes, who became Abraham. We'll see why later on. I didn't check with Stuart or anyone else whether you've had messages about his life. I'm sure you have. I'm not doing anything particularly new. But it's going to be helpful, I pray, for us to review his life, because we're going to hopefully learn and be renewed and refreshed by the lessons we can learn from his life. Most probably God's contact with Abram was via a dream. We're not told how God spoke to him. But however that contact was made, Abram knew that he had been contacted by the living God, and he didn't try to ignore or avoid that contact like Jonah did. He understood the message which called on him to leave his hometown of Ur of the Chaldeans with its worship of the moon god, and that he was to head for the place the Lord God would show him. So as we begin to consider his life story today, it's always good to reflect on the time when following the Lord personally became of importance to us. Not merely attending services of worship dutifully, but following him personally. Following him, that means living each day with him as our nearest and dearest friend, the one on whom we rely. Abram was obedient to the heavenly vision, the heavenly contact, such as he received it. And before we look at the three headings that you'll see on your order of service, we're going to sing a hymn that was inspired by another heavenly vision, a heavenly contact made with young Samuel later on in the scripture revelation. It's 562, "Master, Speak, for I Am Listening."
Gracious word, longing for
So Abraham hears, there I've done it now, Abram hears the Lord communicate to him, go to a land that I will show you. And he goes with people. Yes, his relatives accompany him. Verses 27 to 32 of Genesis 11, we find Terah, Nahor, Milcah, Haran, Lot. And by the way, well done, Malcolm, with those names. You did very well. Plus the unnamed servants of his household. Now, relatives can be a great blessing in our lives, but they can also be a hindrance to our making spiritual progress, as I'm sure you know, especially when we're starting out in the Christian life. When we hear God speaking to us. I well remember my own conversion in April 1976. My mother was a great blessing, but my sister was a great hindrance in my life at that point. And I'm not saying that unkindly, but realistically. And I'm sure you have found the same in your life. Why did they go with Abram? Well, perhaps out of curiosity as to where God was leading him. Perhaps to make more money. They thought maybe it's more prosperous over there. Perhaps because they deeply respected the change they'd seen in Abram's life. Whatever the case, Abram had a large group of people to accompany him out of his hometown of Ur of the Chaldeans on this journey when he left, watching him and with him. We assume that they were all pleased, but maybe they were not. Now, their journey wasn't crossing into altogether different climate zones or cultures, as sometimes people have imagined, like going from Australia to Saudi Arabia. And it's like going from Iraq to Egypt, or Iraq into Israel, is not completely leaving the zone. But we'll see that it did require Abraham to, there I have to say it again, Abram, to live culturally differently as his life unfolds. Perhaps a good up-to-date example of what I'm talking about would be for someone to join a local congregation in a small town like ours who's never been to a church service. And so they don't know how these things work. They don't know what's expected, sitting down, getting up, opening a Bible, what the books of the Bible are, what chapters are. It's all foreign to them. Though they might know some of the members of the church because they live in the same town. It'd be like that. So Abram leaves home in company with relatives, but also he leaves with people, but also with pain. See verse 30? Sarai, his wife, was barren. She had no children. We aren't told how long they'd been married, but given their ages, roughly 75 and so on, presumably this had been a condition for quite a long time. Now, it's quickly and easily said Sarai had no children, but it's agonizingly and painfully lived by people who fervently wanted children of their own. In that day, men desperately wanted children, both of both genders, and especially male heirs to succeed them and to carry on the family name. That was so important. And it's always been true that most women have always had that maternal instinct, which is desired to nurture children. Those physically unable to have children were generally thought to be in some way cursed by the Lord, missing out on his blessing. By the time these events unfolded in Abram and Sarai's life, they're said to be as good as dead, physically speaking, as far as having children together. well past the age of childbearing. So there would have been a lot of pain that they'd experienced in their lives on account of this childlessness. I read Psalm 113 to give the encouragement that the Lord is well able to be dearer to us for those who face these kind of issues than a quiver full of children. But there's no doubt about it that it is a painful experience for those who face these realities. In our world, we live with profound moral contradictions, don't we? When it comes to this matter of children or not. On the one hand, we have the undoubted impressive advances in infertility treatment for couples, as represented by IVF. Not that it is without moral difficulties, but it does promote fertility and therefore life. On the other hand, there are those fanatical advocates of so-called choice who insist on the right to abort perfectly healthy but unwelcome and unwanted fetal tissue, as they refer to the unborn. More to say about that later on in Abram's life too. So there is pain, there are people, but the most encouraging part of this message today is the promise. Chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, Abram. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Wow, what a promise. This is what is known, and rightly so, as God's single-sided covenant, his agreement that he single-handedly makes with Abram. He doesn't require anything except that Abram should go where he tells him to go. What immediately strikes us, of course, is the promise of a male heir. Well, there has to be a male heir, doesn't there, if a nation is to arise. Just think of the scene. Underpinning all the temporary misunderstandings, the irritations that relatives can throw up at us, sometimes deliberately, sometimes not meaning to, here is this exceedingly great and precious covenant promise which the living God makes single-handedly to Abram. Well, what's involved in this promise? There is the hope of a male heir, capital H hope, which God wraps up in this promise. I will make you into a great nation. And as I've said, it can't happen without a male heir. Secondly, there's an enhanced reputation wrapped up in this promise, isn't there? I will make your name great, your reputation great. There's no doubt about it. Obscure, unknown Abram from a little place in Iraq now becomes the central figure in world history, not because of his greatness, but because of God's exalting power. Abram somersaults over the top of his older brother Nahor in God's sight because of God's sovereign electing choice. Nahor is mentioned first because he does come first, but in God's sight, Abram is promoted. That's God's right to do it. And you know, as you love the Lord Jesus Christ and are his by grace and respond to him in faith, you are far more important to God than some academic with 9 letters after their name sitting in an ivory tower somewhere in some capital city on a 6 or more digit salary. And I'm not saying that to be foolish, but I'm saying it in eternal terms. It's true. because that's the way God looks at the world. That shouldn't surprise us. Who of course, shakes their fist in God's face, I should add. Because that's the way God looks at it. He despises the wise who are wise in their own eyes, and he lifts up the humble who look to him. The scriptures constantly make a conscious choice to highlight those individuals and events which the Lord intends us to focus on, because it's essential for us to know him and his ways through their example. That's God's business. That's the way he runs his universe. And he's the one who's in charge. So, there's the promise of a male heir. There's the enhancement of Abram's reputation. And then thirdly, there's the destiny of peoples bound up in the way that they relate to God's man in this promise. See that? I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Sounds favoritistic? Now there's a word I thought I'd dream up. Favoritistic? Well, that's the way God's word of grace goes out. And those who receive it in faith are blessed. Those who thumb the nose at it do not. Take it or trash it. That's people's free choice. That's clear and straightforward. I can't make it plainer than that. Now, gospel preachers, Christian people living in the world need to make it clear and plain very graciously. I understand that. We don't go out there arrogantly standing over people at the end of a gun saying, believe or be blown to bits. No, we shouldn't do that, of course. But basically, the gospel is that way. And of course, the church now functions in the world like Abram did back in his day and generation. Those who mockingly abuse and ridicule her will not get away with it forever. They might get away with it now in Nigeria, and I note even the BBC reports the arrogant taunts of the Boko Haram leader who says, mentioning his own name, I don't like Christians, I like me. And he reckons he's going to get away with it. Well, maybe for the next year, 2, 5 years. The Lord's Resistance Army guy in Uganda has said similar things and has been shot by one of his own troops, I understand. You know, people can do that in the world, but they're not going to get away with it for eternity, friends. And you think, Stefan, this is Old Testament. Well, Jesus picked up the same approach to life, didn't he? When he told his followers, when they were visiting the villages in Judea, he said, when you visit a village and are welcomed there, they're welcoming me. Let your blessing remain. But if they don't welcome you and bless you, then don't curse them, but shake the dust off your feet and move on. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day when the world ends than it will be for them. You see, we promote a gracious but powerful gospel. Now what do? We pray for those who despitefully use us. We bless our enemies. We don't curse them. But the judge of all the earth will do what is right. So there's a word of warning to those who curse us, and there's a word of consolation and blessing to us. Yes, this is God's covenant to Abram. What a message to start on. Yeah. Why did God set his love upon Abram? What was there in Abram? Nothing. He's just a moon worshipper. like the rest of his family, like the rest of the city of Ur. But this is where it starts. What is there in Stefan Slutsky's life that I'm standing here and not somebody else? There's nothing. Nothing special. But God sets his love upon and draws those he chooses. And you, my friend, are just as significant and important where God has placed you as I am. You may be more faithful in your life than I am. That's known to God. I end with the beautiful reminder to us this morning about calling. Because I started by reminding us about how it was that God called Abram. I said it was in a dream, most likely. How was it with you? I don't know. Most likely it was through a Sunday school teacher, through maybe hearing a lovely Christian song, and maybe it was, for some I know in congregations I've served, through going to a Billy Graham crusade or something else. I've told you already about the role that the Back to the Bible radio broadcast has played in my life, and before there were other things. So, but the important thing is to emphasise that today God doesn't call us to go to a particular part of the world and inherit a parcel of land. No, he calls us to personally trust his son, the Lord Jesus, and rely on his sacrifice for our sins as the means to come into personal fellowship with him. And I pray that that's happened for you, so that, as I said at the beginning, for you, following him is not just a matter of turning up here at whatever time on Sunday morning and dutifully, important and lovely as that is, joining in the singing of his praise and the participation in the life of our congregation. But it is an active daily fellowship with him in your life, wherever he places you. The scripture that I have at the end to read to remind us is this: God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to receive you, faithful to welcome you, faithful to be with you each day of your life, till he welcomes you into glory above. My prayer is that you have heard his voice, that you have responded to his call, that you have said, yes, I am now, by his grace, in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, my dear Saviour and Lord. And in a minute we're going to sing about that in the last hymn. Let's come to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this first of a number of messages that will help us to focus upon the life of your servant Abram, not perfect by any means, still a sinner after you called him. And we thank you for his courageous life. We thank you for the lessons that we learn from his continued sin in his life, because there's certainly continued sin, as you know, Father, only too well, in mine and in our lives as well. And so we pray that as you teach us and patiently bear with us, that you would lead us day by day, step by step, as you've promised, and that you would draw us to admire more and more our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and walk with him in such a way that we would look into the unknown future with greater confidence and hope as the days draw on. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to indeed join to sing these wonderful words contained in hymn 251. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. 251.
I heard.
grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and forevermore. Amen.